Afternoon, CEO.
Good afternoon, Chair and honorable members.
Thank you. Is the chair on the virtual platform? I can see Commissioner Graham has joined. Good afternoon, Commissioner Graham.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. Good to be with all of you again.
Thank you very much. How are you doing?
No, I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. I hope you do.
Thank you very much. Deputy Chair, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. I'm just not sure how to show you my face right.
We can see your face.
Oh, can you? Can you hear me now?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. How are you?
I'm okay.
I'm all right. Thanks, and you.
Thank you very much. And then to all the other commissioners that we have not been able to see, good afternoon. I think it's important for us to start. It's now 2 o'clock.
Yes.
Welcome to this meeting to deal with your annual performance plans and quarter one and quarter two and your funding needs for the incoming year. We will now hand over to Prof. But before, let's welcome the new commissioners, the deputy chairperson. Who's the other new commissioner who has joined?
Commissioner Nduli.
Commissioner Nduli, is she on the virtual platform?
Unfortunately not, chairperson. She and Commissioner Spanyoni are in Mpumalanga doing service hearing on service delivery complaints.
Okay.
And they said the network is too poor where they are.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, that's fine. So we will welcome Commissioner Chauhan as the new deputy chairperson of the Human Rights Commission. Over to you, Chairperson, Prof. Majola.
Thank you, Chairperson and distinguished members of the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services. I will take just about 7 of your minutes and then hand over to our CEO to give the rest of the presentation. But it gives us great pleasure to appear before you once more. And accompanying me in this meeting is, as you have introduced, our Deputy Chairperson, Commissioner Chauhan. Commissioner Malaji is here, Commissioner Gaum and Commissioner Nissen are also here. And as I've said, that Commissioner Nduli and Commissioner Spanyoni, unfortunately, doing service delivery complaints hearings in Mpumalanga, and they give their apologies. Also with us is the Chief Executive Officer of the Commission, Advocate Tubanyane, together with his own staff. During most of the period that is under review, the Commission operated in the context of a continuing pandemic and the country being hit by the third wave of the coronavirus of 2019. Experience has shown that the pandemic exacerbates existing human rights challenges that warrant attention from national human rights institutions such as ours. The encounter with COVID-19 requires a constant review of the institutional strategy and methods for the realization of the strategic outcomes and objectives of the institution. This is because the realities on the ground we have learned change on very short notice, and the organization needs to constantly monitor and adjust as circumstances dictate and change. So for the past financial year, that is 2020-2021, while the Commission managed to achieve most of its targets, the onset of COVID-19 and then the implementation of related disaster management measures resulted in the Commission missing only 64% of its targets, and this is lower than the previous years. It is clear that the total shutdown in March, end of March, impacted the promotion of rights targets more than targets related to the protection of rights. However, it is encouraging that the Commission managed, in spite of the challenges, to achieve 75% of its protection of human rights targets. Considering that the country was for some time under the highest level of risk when even movement was restricted, of course, it could be anticipated that we couldn't achieve all our targets, although we still wish we could have done so. The Commission is trying, on the other hand, to learn lessons from that experience. And also then we are working hard towards trying to improve our achievements nevertheless. And we are attending international conferences that deal also of national human rights institutions that deal with these. And the solidarity is that we should try to push much harder and learn lessons from one another. It is noteworthy that the number of equality complaints has continued to occupy the top spot among the complaints that we have received during this financial year. And it's followed only by service delivery complaints in Section 27 relating to health, food, water, social security, and the like. While it is one of the most important programs of the Commission, the monitoring and assessment of the observance of human rights in the country cannot perform optimally. One of the challenges that we have is that we do not have access to disaggregated data, and it is of critical importance to the achievement of Agenda 2030. So it is critical that StatsSA is properly capacitated so that they can produce the disaggregated data, and that the NHRI, which is us in the country, is facilitated not only to easily assess such data, but also to be able to use it in monitoring SDGs. We have, Chairperson, been in touch with StatsSA, and they have raised capacity complaints as the reason why they couldn't help us, but we still continue to engage with them. While there was a growing need for greater intervention in 2020 in terms of the protection of rights in particular, there were always safety concerns and required precautionary measures that further restricted the already constrained resources of the Commission. The Commission continued with remote working arrangements, which render performance less than optimal. These arrangements also placed demands for working equipment such as additional laptops, remote software platforms that facilitate remote communication, protective gear and allowance. The remote working method also limited the requisite interaction with members of the public who wanted to come to the Commission to have their complaints attended to. Many people also live in places that have no electricity, or they lack the means, the technological means, to engage remotely. At the Commission, the pandemic had an adverse effect on the wellness of human capital, and consequently, it also impacted on productivity in some cases. The Commission has consequently initiated a mental health awareness and wellness program for all employees in an effort to try and also improve on productivity. Then this year, Chairperson, we saw the unrest which left the Commission and many other people, of course, extremely concerned about the rights of members of the public, including the rights to freedom and security of persons. This unrest challenged the Commission not only to look for the causes of the unrest, but also to figure out how our hard-fought human rights can be effectively protected and promoted in future. So for this reason, the Commission has decided to hold public hearings into the unrest in order to try and find answers to these questions. And I am pleased to inform the Portfolio Committee that the panel, which is chaired by Commissioner Gam, and it includes Commissioner Ntuli and Commissioner Chris Neeson, will commence hearing evidence next week. That notwithstanding, the unrest has necessitated the review and adjustment of our institutional objectives to focus on understanding and addressing the causes of the unrest. We are, on the other hand, collaborating more with other stakeholders, including the public protector, other members of the FISD, but also with civil society in many respects. We hope that these are going to actually benefit our achievements of targets going forward. We had two vacancies during the year, which put a lot of pressure on the remaining commissioners. Thankfully, and thanks to the Portfolio Committee and to you, Chair, these were filled in July this year, and you have introduced kindly the two commissioners who came in, and their appointment has therefore enabled us to spread the work and also to relieve the pressure to a large extent. Unfortunately, Commissioner Magwetla is still not well, still attending occupational therapy, and we wait to hear from the doctors at the end of this month. So among the staff, the Commission had vacancies on some of the key positions which we are working on to fill, and one of those critical vacancies is the head of the legal services, which is very important, the head of the information services, as well as the provincial manager for the Eastern Cape. And then finally, Chairperson, allow me just to highlight the constraint and the concern that the Commission has in relation to its monitoring program. The Commission does not have a permanent monitoring program structure in provinces, and this is a big, big gap. And then coupled with the budgetary constraints, it becomes very difficult for us to establish a solid such monitoring structure. Yet it is very critical in the work of the Commission to promote rights, even to protect rights, and not only just to monitor human rights. We are raising this at the right level, and we hope that at some stage we will be able to establish such a monitoring instrument. I and my colleagues and the CEO and the staff will remain available to the distinguished members of the Portfolio Committee to answer any questions after the CEO has given his input. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And again, welcome Commissioner Neeson and Commissioner Malatje to the meeting. And over to you, CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson.
CEO, you have been complaining that we always give you limited time. So today we decided to put you last as the commission so that we can have enough time.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. How much time do we have?
We'll give you 40 minutes.
No, thanks, Chair. Thank you. I'm accompanied by my colleagues. Some of them I'd want to mention. Ms. Fadla Adams, who's our parliamentary and international liaison officer. She's the one basically who's piloting the PowerPoint slides. And then we've got our acting CFO, Ms. Laurie Lin. Unfortunately, our CFO who joined us in March this year, unfortunately had to leave because of the loss of her husband. Then we're also joined by Ms. Chantelle Thiessen, our COO. So can we move then to this next slide of contents? This basically presents a broad overview of our presentation. And under the issue of
that,
the...
Sorry, on that note, can we pass our deepest condolences to the husband of your CEO and the CFO and observe a moment of silence? Thank you very much. Please pass the condolences of the portfolio committee during this difficult time for her family and all the loved ones.
Thank you, Chair, as well as our staff members who lost their lives, as well as those of their members. So under the item three.
Chair, Honorable Manuha Drufin. May I interrupt, please?
Okay.
I'm very sorry, Chairperson. The slide presentation is actually showing two slides. Is it possible to make it the full display of the presentation of the PowerPoint?
Padla, please help.
Thank you.
Please click enable editing. Okay, can we go to slide number two?
I think we are on slide number two, are we not? Hi, sorry.
No. They're showing the May 1st.
You can proceed, CEO. We do have
okay.
The slides.
Thank you. Okay, yes, sir. Slide number two is just then a broad overview of the contents of our presentation. And then under item number three, we'll also do a short presentation on the forward funding needs, which was then requested. And then I'm going to slide number five, which basically gives us a broad overview of the achievement of targets over the past 5 years. And as the chair pointed out, 2020-21 had a dip for a number of reasons, which the chair has pointed out, but it was largely due to COVID. And I need to say, Chair, it was quite a challenging time for the commission because, from last year, March or April rather, we began working remotely and we had to get laptops and data for staff members. But we managed to survive the storm and also to learn the new norm of operating under this context. Thank you. And then slide number six then just highlights the achievements of Target's PEAR program, to show where we achieved and where we didn't achieve. This is the administrative program, human rights, promotion of human rights program, protection and so forth. And then we're going into details, slide number eight, which then highlights, the achievements under program one, which is administration. These are some of the things which we had to do in order to, survive issues around COVID-19 protocols due to, in order to respond to the various lockdown stages under COVID-19, using IT and stuff like that. And then slide number nine, then also that highlights in much more detail issues, some of the areas which we then failed to perform under this program and some of the reasons there, which led to these issues, which as the chair has pointed out, we're still committing ourselves, to address. And of course, there are reasons for some of those things which can also respond to later on. And the same goes to slide number 10, again, the areas where we underperformed and the reasons, which we had to give there and what has been done in this area. Then we go to the next slide, which is the promotion. So here, promotion of human rights, slide number 12, shows the kind of thematic pillars which informed this program during the year in question. The issues of good governance, anti-corruption, issues of responding to water and sanitation. For example, you might recall the hearings we've done in Val, as well as in Alexander, also speak to some of those things. And of course, our commemoration of the 25th anniversary last year, which members of the Portfolio Committee also attended virtually. It was quite a good event there to celebrate, you know, 25 years of the existence of the Human Rights Commission. And then slide 13 also talks to some of the strategies which we then had to, you know, look into in terms of risk in order to, again, to survive the work of the commission and do it better. The last one is also about, you know, the issue of a website and making sure it's more accessible to persons with disability and so forth. And then slide number 14 also then talks about the methodologies which we used to try and survive during this period. As you can see there, we had about 200 group interventions, but also, you know, the issue of the working across provinces was actually quite an innovation where, you know, colleagues from different provinces then basically group the provinces and move to the provinces in order to jointly, in order to, you know, to get a maximum impact. Unfortunately, one of our staff members actually died due to COVID-19 during one of this interventions. Again, the last bullet there shows also the work we've been doing with other stakeholders around issues of water, as well as our work on the fourth industrial revolution, technology and human rights, which is also continuing into this year. We've recently signed an MOU with the Dennis Center for Human Rights to look into issues of technology and human rights, but this will be for the next financial year. Then slide number 2016 then highlights the achievements in terms of our media coverage under the promotion of human rights. You can see there, Chair, that you know the reach for FADLA slide number 16, the types of media platforms which we use in order to advance the promotion work, print media, broadcasting online, and we have a company basically which monitors our reach. And you could see that in the last financial year, we reached 8 billion consumers of our media products. And our media coverage was valued at 293 million, which is a bit less than the previous years, where we had 400 million. But again, you know, COVID-19 also had an impact on this. And you can see, Chair, the last two columns that we had a very low negative media coverage in the media. So basically, it shows that you know, the commission is still being received in many parts of the country positively. Of course, there are always criticisms there and there about the work we do. That's given. And then slide 17 shows some of the areas where we then underachieved in this program due to a number of reasons. That, again, maybe linked to, you know, issues of COVID-19. And also unavailability of people and stuff like that. One of the critical issues there was the number 3, you know, where we're basically had committed to make sure our website is more accessible to persons with disability, but, you know, due to challenges of service provider, we could not really do this. But we are committed to do this in this new financial year. Then we go to the program 3, the protection of human rights. The chair did, you know, talk about some of this, that, you know, we are still doing a lot of work around this area. And I guess one of the notable features under this program was the commission basically applying and being admitted as a friend of the court in the European Court of Human Rights as an intervener on behalf, on the case of Ms. Caster Semenya, which we think will really, you know, go a long way in, you know, addressing issues of unfair discrimination, even in the sporting community as well. And of course, we also took a case on behalf of Mr. Tabi Zulu as a whistleblower. And basically, this also led to another stream of work in the commission going forward in addressing issues of how we can protect whistleblowers in a much better manner in our country. And then the program slide 21 sorry, I skipped the slide 20, but again, slide 20 just highlights again some of the summary of complaints which we are getting, which the chairperson had pointed out that we still get complaints around issues of race and inequality, but well also around socioeconomic rights. And again, this will become much more prominent with the number of complaints we're dealing with around issues of water and sanitation in the Northwest, in Hammanskraal, and in KZN. And of course, we are increasingly getting matters now which are linked to labor matters, which again, you know, we still direct many of them, of course, to CCMA as well as the public protector. Now, slide 21 just gives you an overview of the number of complaints we have dealt with across the provinces. As you can see, it's about 7,000 matters which were complaints which we received and inquiries which were then finalized. And of course, the work being done across the provinces. This again still shows that, you know, a number of South Africans still you know, come to us to bring complaints for us to attend to. And then slide 22 is basically what the chair was talking about, which shows the top five complaints which commission gets in terms of the categories. So equality still remains high, and then followed by issues of socioeconomic rights around health care, food, water, and social security, and so forth. Then slide number three, sorry, slide 23, then highlights some of the areas where we underperformed in this protection mandate. And of course, one was that we set ourselves high targets of mitigating 20 matters in the High Court. Unfortunately, we could only get down to 13, and hence then the you know, the decline. And of course, colleagues are raising this issue that, you know, maybe we set too high standards, which could not be, then it looks like we're not performing. But Chair, you'll appreciate that 13 matters in the High Court by the Commission is still commendable, taking into account the nature of the organization which we have, but also our success rate in the courts. We have not really lost any case worth noting. I think we've actually succeeded basically in advancing jurisprudence through our litigation efforts. Then slide, now we're moving to the next program, monitoring. Then we go to slide 25 under monitoring. Then again, you know, highlights some of the work we've done around this work in terms of, you know, the reports we have done, the inquiries we have done, as well as, you know, the recommendations which you know, we have followed up. And of course, we still have to improve how we ensure that our findings and recommendations are being implemented. But I must say, Chair, recently we're actually quite appreciative that, you know, both in Hammanskraal and Vaal inquiry, even Alexander, government basically committed itself to implement our recommendations and findings without any challenge at all. So it does show that there's an increasing level of cooperation between us and the rest of organs of state in this matter. And then slide six then talks about, you know, some of the work we have done around child rights. You know, we have an agreement with UNICEF, but we also have helped set up a think tank on child rights, which includes a whole lot of child rights organizations, including government, social development, UNICEF, and many others, to see how we can better, you know, address the plight of human of child rights, but also to help the Commission to increase its footprint around these issues. The last bullet there shows that we are doing some work with the Center for Child Law to look at the, you know, the plight of children in detention centers as part of the NPM, but also again as a continuation of this work we're doing. And then slide 28 talks about, you know, the work around persons with disability from a monitoring point of view, you know, and the kind of work we're doing here. Well, there's still a lot of work which has to be done under this portfolio. area, and Commissioner Malachi is the commissioner in charge of this area. So again, you know, we are still committed to do a little bit more around these issues. And actually, you know, recently Treasury gave us some extra money to try and enhance our monitoring systems around issues of persons with disability. Slide 29 talks to the work we're doing around the optional protocol on NPM under the leadership of Commissioner Nissen, where basically we monitor detention centers, police stations, correctional centers, and we are working with a whole lot of stakeholders here, JICS, NPM, IPIDS, and everybody else to try and ensure that, you know, this work, which hinges around Section 12, the right not to be tortured and the right not to be subjected to cruel, inhuman, and degrading punishment. So we're already in our second year and following the mandate given to us by Parliament to play a coordinating and monitoring role around this area. Of course, there's still a lot of work which has to be done in this area, but certainly we are, I think, doing quite well in this area with all our stakeholders and partners. Then slide 30 just you know, shows you our monitoring efforts around PAEA. And of course, this now will now be handed over to the information regulator in the next financial year. We agreed that we will still do a report for 2021 and 2020-21, which we have done as part of this annual report. But again, it shows that, you know, there's still a lot of work to get organs of state to submit their reports on how the Act is being used in order to access information. And we have said, Chair, that, you know, this table also highlights the challenges around local government, where again, we still have a very low involvement by local government in providing reports, which then shows, you know, which confirms some of the problems we are seeing around local government, where, you know, out of more than 200 municipalities, you will hardly get more than 50 municipalities reporting to the commission as required by PAEA. But again, you know, we're not doing well also at the national level, but hopefully the information regulator with, you know, with this a much more binding powers will basically make headway in this regard. But we're still committed to support them, and we share premises in our national office. So we work quite closely with them. And then slide 31 basically highlights the areas where we've underperformed. You know, so I'll skip this one in the interest of time. And then we then go to the annual financial statements. So slide 33 basically just gives us a brief outline that we have managed again to secure an unqualified audit, even though we still have lots of issues around audit queries, which we have to address, and we are committed to this. Unfortunately, you know, we got our CFO quite late, who also unfortunately had to leave very soon. So we're now trying to see what we can do to get more capacity to ensure that we do address the problems of the unqualified audit and the and audit queries which the AG has highlighted. And then slide 34 just highlights, gives a broad overview of our financial performance in 2020, 21, and 2022. You can see that you know, we got something like it just highlights the monies we have received from the government and how it has been used in terms of personnel costs and corporate support costs, and then also corporational costs. There has been an increase in some areas and decline in some areas, but we can speak more to this during question time. My acting CFO is here as well. Then of course, slide 35 just gives us a comparative analysis in terms of the cost of employees and impact on the organogram. Last financial year, you know, due to budget cuts, Treasury asked us to hand over something like 8 million rands, you know, in order to stay within the line. but we did manage to survive. We froze a number of posts as well to try and avoid retrenchment as much as possible, while at the same time also be remaining as effective as possible. It does create certain problems, as you know, that staff members have not received their normal increases. Senior managers have had their salaries frozen as well. But we understand where we're coming from, but also the need then for us to tighten our belt without undermining our mandates as much as possible. Slide 36, let's just give us a broad overview then of the total grants we have received from Treasury. It stands at 195, and then there's an interest of 1 million, and then also some rollover from Treasury from the previous years, which were then targeted for specific functions, which includes the office relocation, as well as supplementing the work around NPM, as well as digitization of records. In view of Papaya coming into operation, we need to make sure that we're as compliant as possible, but also make sure that we are digitizing our records so that we can become more effective in that regard. Then slide 37 just gives us a further breakdown of how the budget has been spent until September this year. We had 42%, so we still need to make sure that we do spend the money and we don't send money back to Treasury, even though Treasury has been kind in the past few years to give us our surplus. We normally spend around 95% of the budget share, but we can also improve that from where we stand. And then these are now the slides around the forward funding needs, which were requested to speak about. So certainly there's still a need for funding for the NPM. As you know, the NPM has been funded from ring fence allocation, and there's still no proper model as to exactly how much will the NPM cost this country going forward. So we keep on getting bits and bits from Treasury up until there is a full understanding between Treasury and all the components of NPM as to how should NPM look like. So there's talk really of developing a model law and a model structure that which then Treasury can then be able to fund properly instead of the short-term basis. Again, we've asked for money for independent monitoring mechanism. The chair did speak about the need for us to increase our footprints at the provincial level as far as monitoring is concerned. And of course, ICT asking for 7 million. We need to get more and more into the digital world, as well as getting people to use internet for complaints and all those kind of things. There's something which I wanted. The issue of local government, Chair, there is talk in the commission that we really need to do a lot more, a lot more around local government, in view of the outcomes we have seen of the elections, but also in view of the challenges we've been picking up as a commission around service delivery in local government. So there's one area of work which the commission really wants to do a lot more, because we think that there's a whole phase of delivery in our country, and maybe we could have done better as a commission, and maybe things wouldn't be where they are today. So we are definitely committed to that for all this. So you can see, Chair, our forward funding needs amount to something like 22 million rands, but maybe someday the sun will shine on all of us. We then go to the last slide, Chair, the performance in the second quarter of 2021. So far, we are not doing that bad. Of course, administration still remains a problem, but for other programs, the promotion is doing well, protection is doing well, monitoring is doing well. So we're hoping that, Chair, that when we come next year, this table will look much better than it is currently. And then, now, these are just snapshots of some of the work that we have done up until now. The chair did mention our hearing on the unrest, which will start on the 15th of November. It's quite massive. Treasury gave us 3 million rands for this. This also includes work around social cohesion. We've been given 1 million rands again for this. and of course the need also to address issues of equality courts. We also finished our national school moot court competition. Last year it was remote, but this year, you know, it was a hybrid, remote and as well as physical, and it really went well. And I think it's one of the flagships really of the commission, where we're able to reach to many learners in many parts of the country and then bring them to Gauteng to actually appear in the constitutional court and argue matters before the courts. So it's actually quite a useful area of work. And then the last bullet there shows that we're also trying again to increase our footprint in the media as well. And then for slide 42, again, you talk about some of the things we've done around mental health, issues of monitoring vaccine rollout, issues of child rights and NPM, and so forth. So Chair, let me end here then, we can then take all the questions. Thank you.
CEO?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Will the CFO not present?
No, Chair, she will only assist where there is a clarity and question.
Okay, no, thank you very much. Members, that is the presentation from the South African Human Rights Commission. Can I note hands? Honorable Horn, can you ask your questions?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Before I come to some of the issues flagged by the Auditor General, Chair, maybe just for the sake of clarity, and at the risk of sounding insensitive, the way I understood the presentation specifically during the latter part, it would seem that the CFO quite possibly is not only temporarily unavailable due to the passing of the husband, but might be a situation where the CFO, because of personal circumstances caused by the passing, had to vacate the position. So it would be good to just get the full picture in this regard. And then if it is in fact so that the CFO, as a consequence of personal circumstances, resigned, whether we could be apprised as to when exactly this happened and what the plan is going forward. Then, Jay, in respect of the activities of the Human Rights Commission, perennially, when they come and appear, ask about their choices, I want to say policy choices they make in dealing with matters. So it's not that I'm criticizing them for conducting the hearings in Mpumalanga, which they are conducting. If I understood the media reports correctly, it centers, as a matter of fact, around water provision. Service delivery, but with an emphasis on water provision and the lack of water provision by local governments. And my question is really this, how and when does the commission decide that such a provincial hearing is to be undertaken? Even specifically that we know that, unfortunately, large parts of our population are struggling with getting the very basic access to clean water, which our constitution says is one of the most basic of rights. So the question really is, why in Mpumalanga specifically? I'm from the Free State, and I know that the Human Rights Commission has over the years brought out a number of reports in respect of the failure of local governments in the Free State to ensure continuous basic access to clean water. It's good to hear today that they've now received, in respect of some of the latter findings it made, undertakings that these matters would be addressed. But I'm curious to know, if water, for example, is a systemic issue in our country, why only in Mpumalanga? And shouldn't the commission maybe look at embarking on a process of dealing with the lack of access to these most basic of rights everywhere? So that's in terms of these two issues. In terms of the performance of the commission in terms of management of funds and compliance with legislation, Chair, it must be said that unfortunately, whilst the overall outcome of the audit remained the same, it was quite clear yesterday when we had the Auditor General in front of us that, as a matter of fact, there has been some regression on the part of the Human Rights Commission in terms of performance. So both in terms of the material misstatement of performance reporting and the lack of usefulness in respect of targets and indicators, the Auditor General made it clear that it is both a repeat finding and that it experienced even a further regression in respect of these issues, and also reported on a lack of proper action plans to address the findings of the past. So it would be good to hear what steps will be taken to get to that action plan to address the audit findings of the past 2 years in respect of these issues. And I mean, it must be said that the Auditor General ascribed this to vacancies in what it called key management positions. Similarly, Chair, in respect of irregular expenditure, it was specifically pointed out that there was no consequence management on as a result of the irregular expenditure identified in the previous financial year as a result of it not having been investigated. So I think from our side, we must ask what plans are now in place to investigate the irregular expenditure of the past 2 years. And maybe with your assistance, Chair, we must also set some target dates for the Commission to report back on these to the committee. Specifically as these, again, are repeat findings around supply chain management and the lack of complying with requirements around competitive procurement. And then in respect of lastly, Chair, the audit, the report of the Auditor General, I think it must be a very worrying aspect of this report that around IT, it would seem that there is a basic lack of management around the accounting systems, to the point where the Auditor General says that because of a lack of review of administrator activities, and well, I think in layman's terms, as I understood the report, a lack of ensuring that only those responsible for financial management at the Human Rights Commission have full access to the systems, the Auditor General said it was not able to really establish that all activities on these accounting systems were properly authorized. And I mean, that should be a big worry. And I think we should also insist on hearing what steps have been taken since the Auditor General has made this finding to address this issue, because hopefully that would have been something that would have been addressed immediately, more or less, once it was pointed out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Nieuwpoort Steffens.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you to the Human Rights Commission for their presentation, and welcome to the new commissioners as well. I wish you well in your work ahead. The first thing I want to say is thank you to the Human Rights Commission for their intervention in one of the schools for the deaf, the protests we were really worried about that because it was spreading to other schools as well. But I'm very curious on an update with regards to that intervention from the South African Human Rights Commission. Is there any update with regards to that? Now, secondly, relating to schools, I recently got a message from an outgoing counselor in the Swartland area and saying that there's a big concern there because the matrix has to pay 80 rand per day for traveling to school just to write their exams, their matric exams. Now, they come from poor rural areas. So I'm just asking whether the Human Rights Commission can look into the scholar transport issue, especially in the Swartland area, because it is quite expensive, you know, for people just to get access to education or just to write their exam. They have to pay quite a lot of money. Then COVID-19 complaints. The commission received 221 COVID-19 related complaints. What kind of complaints were these? What was it about? And then also, have these complaints been resolved or not? Then with regards to the protection of whistleblowers, I know that this is an area of discussion. There's a special unit to protect whistleblowers, but we are getting very concerned because recently a female whistleblower was shot. I read in other newspaper that a whistleblower was fleeing for his life, or people are fleeing for their lives, moving overseas just to take care of themselves, because they happen to be a whistleblower. Is there any update from the Human Rights Commission and the entities discussing, you know, a special unit for whistleblowing? What has been the discussions around these? What in any updates? Then with regard to the ICT, I know you have a limited budget, but, and also with the budget cuts, I'm curious whether there is any update with regards to the Human Rights Commission making changes to the ICT systems. The Chief Information Officer, has that person been appointed or not? And then I think I'm done with my questions for now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Jale, are you back? Then Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I took my hand down because I've been covered. Thank you very much.
Okay. Let's just give me a minute to check everybody. Is there anyone who has raised his or her hand who has not been covered? I know Honorable Jale is suffering from load shedding. Okay, let me ask my questions. Commissioners and the administration of the Human Rights Commission, I think your work, when a person reads this report, and what you are doing and what we know you to be doing is chalk and cheese. The report that we have read from the Auditor General is very bad. Unfortunately, there was no preemptive attempt to explain some of the issues upfront from your side, to be in a position to explain some of these things, because just to take from what Honorable Horn has raised, they just go beyond issues of financial irregularities. They deal with inaccuracies in as far as your work is concerned, because most of your work, there was no supporting document that it was done. So I will take you through each one of them so that you can be able to respond properly. I will take you both to financial and non-financial. First of all, I think you were able to explain your drop in performance, which was 88% in the previous financial year, and now is 64%.